I like how at the end of John's gospel there, he pauses in telling the story and he just says, by the way, if you want to know why I wrote all of this, it's for a purpose. Did you catch the purpose? It's purpose-driven writing. I want you to know some things about Jesus so that in believing these things about Jesus, what? You have life. Full, abundant, eternal life, new, vibrant, in Christ's name. Well, for the 40 days of Lent, we have journeyed with a theme. I hope you noticed it. We had as a theme, Journey to the Center. And to do it, we used the symbol of a labyrinth, which is a big circle with a walking path. And the walking path leads to a center. And if you get our electronic news mailings through the week, we receive devotionals with pictures of labyrinths from all over the world. Some in European cathedrals, some in the woods. One, my favorite, I think, was the Pacific Ocean coastline. That's a labyrinth I'd like to walk quickly and then get down to the waters. We have a labyrinth in the back of our property. That was even featured. If you don't get that electronic newsletter, call the office. It's a great piece and always full of life and vibrancy and encouragement. So we journeyed, as a labyrinth would have us do, to the center. You know, all labyrinths have a center. Now, they don't always have the same thing in the center, but they all have a center. The idea there is that you walk the path that twists and turns, sometimes getting you closer to the center, sometimes further away. And when you get to the center, you can stay there as long as you'd like, but eventually, you've got to go back out into the cruel, harsh, big world. Reminds me of what one father said before he went to work and his boys to the woods. Now remember, boys, you're only allowed to go halfway into the woods because it'll take the other half to get out of the woods. Most labyrinths have an empty center. Do you notice what's in our labyrinth? An enormous rock. The rock that reminds us that Christ is the rock upon whom our lives are built, so that when the storms rage or the winds blow or the waters rise, we will stand and persevere. How about the rock at the empty tomb that's moved as a sign of new and resurrection life? I love the rock that's out there. In fact, the Open Arms Ministry was having its worship service. These are kids with special needs and their families. And with the ukuleles and the guitars and Beverly giving her Easter message to those who had gathered, one of the children wandered off from his parents and got a huge stick. Beverly continued to preach the good news as he walked around the labyrinth with that stick. Eventually, he crawled on top of that central rock. And once he got his balance, he raised a stick to the sky. And right there, I got the picture and sent it to his mother. If I could title it, it would be Easter Victory. Jesus is the rock. The rock of the empty tomb, the rock from which waters in the wilderness came as Moses struck it with his stick. Labyrinths have a center. At the center of the good news of Jesus is the cross and the empty tomb. That's the heart of the matter, isn't it? If Holy Week could download onto the hard drive of your hearts a faith conviction, it would be the death and resurrection of Jesus, which teaches us and tells us and inspires us to know, assures us that darkness does not overcome light, but light will shine forth. And despair will turn to joy, and God's love is more powerful than human hatred, and God's peace will outdistance human violence. And death will be swallowed up in life. At the center, we know nothing is impossible for God. I suppose you and I all have a center. That is, all of us have a foundational principle, a chief value or love or ethic, don't we? When I was 8 years old, my center was hitting base hits. When I was 13, my center was Jackson 5 albums. Shall I stop? When I was 18, well, What's at the center? But what really matters, and do you desire and love the most? I still have those Jackson 5 albums if you want to come see them ever. We all have a center. What the gospel invites us to do is to put God at the center. When I moved here, a friend of me said, Ollie, you need to know something about Georgia. I said, what's that? And she said, it's all about the dogs. It's all about the dogs. And I thought, that's an interesting center. The gospel at the center. Death and resurrection. Light defeating darkness. Forgiveness outpacing sin. Peace for the fearful. That's what I want central in my heart. How about you? If your life isn't centered on God, then what are the false gods taking the throne, the center of the labyrinth of your heart? If your primary allegiance is not to Jesus Christ, then friends, it's time for a regime change in your heart. Because that matters most. That comes first. Alpharetta Presbyterian is quick to say in its mission statement, we're called to be a Christ-centered family. I just love that. I find that to be very, very helpful in clarifying what matters most. We're called to be a family of faith centered on Christ. Doesn't say we're centered on the Ten Commandments. Doesn't say we're centered on a particular view of how or when the world began. Doesn't say we're centered on a particular political view. Doesn't say we're centered on an earthly kingdom. Doesn't say we're centered on a certain expression of family life or culture. We're centered on Christ. Christ-centered, because we believe he is the fullness of God's revelation for all people. The source of every thought, the motivation for every deed, the foundation of our very being. We walk in the light because he is the light. We set our minds on him, and we carry out his work. Well, I've long been a proponent of the wellness model. At the center of the YMCA basketball court, it says body, mind, and spirit. That's not exactly the wellness model, but it's close. Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, all your soul. That's pretty close to the wellness model, the whole picture of ourselves. You've probably, if you know anything about wellness, know about the wellness model. There are different aspects of your life. I was looking at the rose window, and I thought, there's the illustration I need. I don't have to draw it for you on a flip chart. There's a center to the rose petal, and around each petal, the center is there, and around it, each petal grows. So one petal might be the social part of your life. That's important. Another petal might be the intellectual part of your life. You're never done learning. Another part of the petals could be your physical health, what you eat and your exercise. Another part could be your family life and so on. We have all of these different parts of our life, don't we? Our occupational part of ourselves and so forth. The problem is when you put work at the center. The problem is when you put your family at the center. The problem is when you put your health and well-being at the center. None of those are the center. The center is Christ Jesus, the gospel, the spiritual. And out of that center, everything else is informed. I just find that such a helpful, clarifying, coherent way of living in a chaotic world. That wellness model I borrowed from a PhD student in Chapel Hill who had invited campus ministers to come and talk about the spiritual piece. And in her work with students at Chapel Hill, she draws the wellness model with the spiritual at the center, and then out of that, all the different petals of your life. But if you Google it today, go ahead, Google wellness model, and you know where they put the spiritual today? As just one of the petals. It's not at the center. It's there if you want it. I never read in the Bible God saying, I'd like to, for you to work me into your life. If you could get me next to the gym, I'd be happy with that. I never, worship's nice if you can fit it in, but I know you're busy. The center has to be the spiritual, and that gives order and informs everything else. And when we get out of balance, and we all do at various times in our lives, the financial takes over, or the kids are demanding. And there are times when certain aspects of your life cause you to be out of balance. But the balance comes really when you know, like a labyrinth, your center. I can think of no passage in Scripture where God says, I'm fine with you squeezing me in when you can. Instead, the first commandment is the love of God comes first. And Jesus says, seek first the kingdom. All else will follow. At the center of the gospel, at the center of our Easter faith, it's that God can do the impossible. God can raise the dead. God can bring peace to the fearful. God can bring joy to the grieving. That's at the center of it all. Thomas struggles to believe that until he can get evidence. But I don't really want to preach about Thomas today. We all have doubt and faith working within us, Thomases that we are. What I want to preach about today is what Jesus says to the disciples before Thomas. Did you catch that? It's a little Pentecost moment. It's John's Pentecost. Jesus says to the disciples, essentially, now my work is done. And I'm handing over the work to you. As the Father sent me, so I send you. And then he breathes on them the Holy Spirit, and up and out and off they go. I find that pretty startling, don't you? As the Father sent the Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but to save the world, so the Son sends you. A good bit of me says, Jesus, don't you have a better plan than me and these folks? My work is done. I have given you an example. I abide with you in the Spirit. I am present where you gather. I have shown you love. I have given you life. Go now and continue the work. It's in your hands. And we go out from the center to the world. It's been 50 years since Martin Luther King was killed. He gave his life to a cause bigger than himself. His good work, his courageous efforts, his nonviolent campaign for equality and freedom, for dignity and peace, his dream of a beloved community did not die with him. He inherited it from his family and from his church. He ran his race, and then the torch was passed to those who carry on his work. We inherit much to be done still today in the name of freedom and equality. Christ at our center saves us from sin, but Christ the commissioner sends us out. So to the labyrinth we journey, and to Holy Week we come and give thanks for the saving love of God and Jesus Christ, who then sends us out in the power of the Spirit to serve and further his work. What I notice is that when Easter is finished, God's work isn't done. When Easter has been accomplished, Christ is sending out his followers to carry on the work. The risen Christ says to them that first Easter, stop hiding. Don't be afraid. Abide in me as I abide in you. And go. And share God's love in word and deed with all the world. I guess what I'm saying is the one who saves us is also the one who sends us. He is the light. So walk in his light. And centered on what God has done in him, believe that God can do in you and through you and for you that which is impossible. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.